Today on The King is Coming.
As a Christian, do I have to fear the mark of the beast? I believe the answer is absolutely no, we don't. Why? Because in order to have the mark of the beast, you need to have a beast. And the Bible says the beast won't come until the rapture has already happened. The mark of the beast, 666. What is it? And how close could we be to it? That's next on The King is Coming.
The Bible says in the last days, a lone figure will rise. He will be the counterfeit Messiah, the man of sin, Satan with skin on. He is Antichrist. In The King is Coming seven-part video series, Antichrist, the Coming Prince of Darkness, Jeff Kinley digs into the prophetic scriptures on the coming of the Antichrist. Who will he be? When is he coming? How will we know who he is? This series will bring imagination to life as you study the character, the deception, and the mystery surrounding the coming Antichrist. To get your copy today of Antichrist, the Coming Prince of Darkness, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you. Based on biblical revelations about the coming man of sin, Interview with the Antichrist will cause your imagination to soar and whet your appetite for more information on end times prophecy. The speculative account from Jeff Kinley is more than just a suspenseful mystery. It will give you a window into the character of the Antichrist and how our last days could unfold according to Scripture's ultimate plot. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of Interview with the Antichrist. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
Well, we're in this exciting series on Antichrist, the coming Prince of Darkness, and we've been surveying so much about questions about who the Antichrist could be, and not his identity, but in terms of what he might be like and when he might come on the scene, what the Bible says, and concerning prophetic clues. We talked about his government. We talked about his message. We talked about his motivation. And now I want to talk about his mark. This idea of the mark of the beast is one of the most intriguing inquiries that I get concerning the Antichrist himself. And so we want to go straight to Scripture on the mark of the beast and survey what the Bible actually says. Now, this is from Revelation here, chapter 13, and verses 16 through 17. And there's a lot of ground we're going to cover in today's program here. It says, "And he causes all the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free man and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to sell or buy except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. So let's just begin at the beginning. Let's ask ourselves, what is the mark of the beast? Well, what's the mark he's talking about there? Well, it's the Greek word charagma. And in the first century, this word charagma was used to refer to a stamp, a seal, or a more properly, more like a tattoo type insignia. And sometimes slaves would be marked with the insignia of their owners, or other times perhaps a soldier would take the insignia or the name or the mark of a commanding general and put it on their arm like a tattoo. And basically that just meant if you were a slave, it meant you were owned by your owner. If you were a soldier, it meant you submitted yourself to the one to whom you were giving tribute there with the charagma. So that's what the word mark means. It just simply means an identifying mark or identifying brand there. Now, what is the purpose of the mark of the beast? Well, it tells us here that no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark. Now, this is a part of Antichrist's global economic plan here that will be implemented during the second half of the tribulation period. Now, why is this such a big thing here? Well, this all has to do with a digital economy that we're ramping up to right now in the world. We're going to return back to that in just a moment. But so the first thing is about your economic existence, essentially your ticket to survival. Without this mark, a person in the second half of the tribulation period will not be able to have a job, make money, buy anything, trade anything. They'll basically be destitute. They'll die. They won't have an ability to live. And by the way, the penalty for not accepting the mark will be beheading. And so people will be essentially forced into taking the mark, though they'll do it voluntarily. The second aspect of this mark of the beast is the idea that it identifies you as a worshiper of the Antichrist and essentially of Satan himself. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14 about the 144,000 young male Jewish evangelists that had a seal on them, the seal of God, it says. And that seal marked them, or will mark them, to say they're owned by God. They serve God. Well, in a similar way, these beast worshipers, these Antichrist worshipers, will also receive that mark. Now, it says in verse 12, it says, and he is talking about the second beast, the false prophet, exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. The Antichrist, through the false prophet, will enact this mark of the beast. It will be your passport to the final economic economy. It will be your way to live, to breathe, to have food on your table, to pay your mortgage, whatever. You cannot live without the mark of the beast. And this is where this global government that we've been talking about, Antichrist, is coming. Think about this for a second. How Satan's closing in on humanity in concentric circles. First of all, he gets rid of all influence, all godly influence after the rapture. There's this preponderance of deception that comes, of lawlessness that comes, violence in the days of Noah. Then he closes in by saying, okay, here's a government that's going to make everything okay. Give me some of your freedom and everything will be fine. Then he controls your economy, controls your pocketbook, controls your bank account, and he controls your soul. And that's what Satan's goal is to control the souls of humanity. So this mark of the beast will be enacted at the midpoint of the tribulation. Say, Jeff, what's going to precede this? Well, the Bible tells us that in verse 3 of chapter 13, it tells us that Antichrist is going to suffer a fatal head wound. It says that in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war against him? There's going to be an assassination plot against Antichrist. Someone is going to kill him, either with a gun or a literal sword, could be. It's going to be to the head, and he's going to die. But he's going to come back from the grave, maybe 3 days later, like Christ, mimicking Christ as he tries to do in many other ways. He's going to come back from the dead, and he is going to declare himself to be God. And he's going to walk into the Jewish temple. Now, say, whoa, 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 Jewish temple, how'd that get there? And how's that going to happen? We're going to talk about that in a few programs from now. In a Q&A episode, we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation. What in the world is that thing, right? So he walks in the temple, he proclaims himself to be God Almighty. Then he tells the whole world, I'm God Almighty. And guess what? They're going to believe him. Why? Because who comes back from the dead except for God, right? So he's going to convince the world that he's God. There'll be these authenticating miracles that the false prophet will do, calling down fire from heaven, performing signs and wonders that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 tell us he's going to do. So all these wonders are going to accompany this other wonder of being resurrected from the dead. Then he's going to enact this image of the beast, going to create an image of the beast that will be able to speak and breathe, a supernatural statue, if you will. And it says that in verse 15, it says, and there was given to him, give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this image is going to be part of what enforces the idea of you have to worship the beast. So you got to worship the Antichrist, and you have to be part of his global economy. Otherwise, you just can't live on the planet anymore. And a lot of these people, and the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10, 11, and through 12, rather, that they're going to voluntarily go along with this plan. They're going to worship him. because they haven't served Christ. They haven't worshiped Jesus. And so the mark will give you an economic passport. It will identify you as a worshiper of Antichrist. Now, as I've said, this charagma, this mark, is an imprint of some type, and it says it's going to be on the forehead or on the hand. Now, quickly, let me tell you what the mark is not. The mark is not a chip. It's not these chips that people are putting in their hands that they can get indoors and pay for drinks and stuff like that. Now, whatever you believe about the chip, I'm not going to get one myself, but the chip is not the mark of the beast. Why? Because the Bible says it's going to be on the right hand or on the forehead. And that Greek word is the word epi. It means on top of. So it's going to be a visible, tangible, something you can see that's going to be on the skin, on the epidermis, not under hypo the epidermis. So it's not a chip. It's not a vaccine of some type. And it's also not going to be any type an under-the-skin chip or an over-the-skin type of mark that will be, like an epidermal type thing, like epidermal tattoos that have these kind of things. So it's not going to be those kind of things. And it's not going to be like Amazon One, or where you scan your hand over the thing. Now, that may be convenient, but it's not the mark of the beast, okay? So purpose of the mark we talked about, to identify you as a worshiper, participate you in the global economy there. And so the last thing about the mark of the beast is concerning the actual number 666. Now, there's a lot of things that have been said about this 666 and what does it mean, who is it, and that kind of thing. Some people said, well, it's three sixes because seven is the perfection number of God, and six is the number of man because man was created on the third day. Well, what does it mean to say 666? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So what does 666 mean? Well, it very well could refer to the unholy Trinity. The Father's counterfeit could be Satan. The Son counterfeit is Antichrist. The Spirit's counterfeit is the false prophet. So the unholy Trinity, if you will, the triple sixes. And people have tried for centuries to figure out who this person is. It's very interesting because it says in verse 18 of this passage, it tells us that let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. So we've tried to figure out who this person is. Well, there's two things. Number one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 have already told us that the identity of the Antichrist cannot be known until after the rapture event happens. So it's futile to try to figure out who the Antichrist is right now. Now, it's very plain that there are many global elites, leaders, presidents who have Antichrist-like characteristics. People that may have similarities, but they don't have all of these characteristics in one. Not one of them has ruled the world. Not one of them has tried to destroy all the Jews all at once. Certainly Hitler would be the closest to that, but he was in the wrong timing. He didn't have the right timing. So 666, that people try to figure it out by saying, well, he's going to be like a John F. Kennedy or Barack Obama or Ronald Wilson Reagan. People have all said that. Why? Because when you take the letters of a person's name and get their Hebrew equivalents, the Hebrew equivalents have a numerical value attached to it. It's called gematria is the way you translate this and calculate this. You can pretty much figure out there are a lot of people on the planet whose name end up being 666. But we can't know who Antichrist is because of what we just talked about in 2 Thessalonians. And secondly, is that this context of verse 18 here in chapter 13 of Revelation is that the people during this time will be able to figure out who the Antichrist is by calculating the number of his name. So they'll be able to confirm what they're seeing out there in the world, that this man's claiming to be God. They're the ones that will be able to figure out. So it's the people living during that time. Now, how will this particular mark be used? Well, Antichrist wants everybody to see that everybody else has the mark. That's why it's going to be visible. That's why I said forehead or on top of the right hand, right? So I think it's going to be used primarily connected to your relationship to digital currency. And the reason that I say that is because we are moving towards a digital currency society right now. There are over 115 countries in the world right now that are well on their way to establishing a central bank digital currency. Say, Jeff, what does that mean? Simply means this: cash is no good anymore. Is that the only transactions that can take place can be digital. In other words, you'll have a digital bank account, which you already have, by the way, but everybody will have a digital bank account, and every transaction will be made digitally. Right now, you can go to the store and pay $10 and get, you know, a loaf of bread and some eggs or whatever. In that day, everything's going to be transacted digitally. So that way, Antichrist government knows exactly what you're spending, when you're spending, what you're spending it on, how often you spend it, and they can control what you spend. So here's the danger of the 100% digital economy and the central bank digital currency is this, is that government will then have the open door. They have the key to the door that lets them into your bank account, that if they so choose for security reasons or for climate emergency or for some crises in the world or you've done something wrong, they need access to your bank account, they can be able to surveil everything that you do. And so every transaction, and this is not a conspiracy theory, by the way, this is what those who are promoting this have already said. They'll be able to trace every transaction in real time. They'll be able to track every transaction. They'll be able to expire any transaction they want to, and to program any amount of money. So for example, if the government says, well, we want to protect the planet, so you can't spend more than $20 worth of gas on any given month, you literally won't be able to buy gas because your money's no good. You can't transact. If you are buying too much meat, they'll curtail your meat. If you're spending too much money at a church that they consider that expresses hate speech towards homosexuals or some other group, you can't give to your church. So in essence, they control your money and they can cut off your money. So you don't have control over your own money anymore. This is like the World Economic Forum has said, by 2030, we'll all be happy, but own nothing. That's because the government will start telling you what to spend your money on, what to do. Well, this is their plan, right? And this is the ultimate plan and the achievement of the Antichrist. So the central digital bank currency there, that's what we need to watch out for. It's happening right now. It's just not a mandated thing at the moment. Now, why will it be sold as a good idea? Well, I've got four reasons here. Number one, it'll protect you against fraud and theft. Sounds like a good idea, right? Number two, for personal convenience. You don't have to fumble around your pocket looking for change or money. For health concerns, money is dirty. People handle money. It goes everywhere. It picks up germs, comes into your life, gets you sick. And then fourthly, for just having a global economic unity. That way, no matter where you travel on the planet, your money's as good as the local currency there. So all of that ties into a global currency and how this mark will be used. Again, where will the mark be placed? On top of the hand, on top of the forehead. Who's going to accept the mark? Well, people who are pragmatic, people who believe in Antichrist, that he's actually God who's been raised from the dead, and people that want to live. Those are the people that will accept the mark. However, there are two caveats, two warnings that the Bible gives against those people in light of that. The first is in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, which says that in the end, God's going to send forth a global delusion that will actually cause people to believe the lie about Antichrist. Then secondly, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 16 tells us that it'll be the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slave. So basically, every strata of society, everyone will take the mark except those who have allegiance to another god. In other words, the answer to the question, will there be a second chance after you take the mark and you regret it? No, there will be no second chances. And you won't regret it because that's the way you're living. And you don't care anymore because God's hardened your heart after you harden your own heart. So those people will all end up in the lake of fire. And why would they trust an Antichrist? Well, because he rose from the dead, because he claims to be God, because he's in charge of the whole world. And so that's going to be an easy belief for them. Will any believers take the mark? Is it possible for a believer to accidentally take the mark or to get it put on their hand? The answer to that is no. And we know that from two verses. Revelation 12:11 says that the believers in those days, it says, and they overcame him, that's Antichrist, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. So they were willing to die and not take the mark. That's how committed these tribulation believers will be, those who have become believers during the tribulation. So we know from that verse, they're going to overcome Antichrist. They will not capitulate to him. The second verse we have is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And it tells us in that verse that that John sees the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And then it says, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand, says they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So no believer will take the mark. No believer, not one, during the tribulation. And no unbeliever who takes the mark will then be able to trust Christ after that. So how does this whole mark thing, how does it play into Satan's end times agenda? Well, it achieves his goal of ruling the world and being worshiped by humanity and basically controlling everything that happens during the end times. Well, what else do we know about this mark, about what's going to happen with it and how it impacts the world during that time? We'll conclude in just a minute on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So we're talking about the mark of the beast, 666, and we've talked about how Antichrist will authenticate his godhood, if you will, by rising from the dead at the midpoint of the tribulation period. This is going to be Satan's greatest miracle. Now, some people don't think that this is an actual rising from the dead. They believe that only God can rise the dead. So people say, well, this is just Satan's greatest illusion, his greatest deception. And certainly that's a possibility. There are other theologians, though, that believe that this will be an actual authenticated miracle. They believe that at the time of Antichrist's fatal wound, when he dies, that's when Satan offers him a rulership of the whole world. And in between life and death, and then when he comes back, he says, I'll bring you back to life if you accept this offer and you can rule the world, that Antichrist says yes. Now, that's obviously speculation, so we don't know that for a fact. But it's very possible that Antichrist does indeed die. He does come back from the dead. And that because of that, people do believe that he is he's God in human flesh. I mean, it's easy to fool people, you know, today with tricks and stuff. But, you know, how do you fool a whole planet? How do you fool billions of people in that day? Well, the Bible says they're going to be fooled. They're going to think he's actually God. Now, here's a character in this scenario of this mark of the beast we only briefly mentioned. And it's the character of the second beast, the second Therion, if you will, the second wild beast. And this person is called the false prophet. In Revelation 16 and verse 13, it says, I saw coming out of their mouth of the dragon and out of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. So you have in that passage, really the unholy trinity right there, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And he's called the false prophet several times in the book of Revelation. This man is given the ability to perform signs and wonders and special miracles, calling down fire from heaven. Perhaps he's able to heal people. We don't know. Perhaps he mimics the same miracles that the two witnesses of God in Revelation 11 that they do. We don't know. But anyway, this false prophet is going to be part of the authenticating message of the Antichrist. In other words, he's going to support him. He's going to be his PR man. He's going to be his front runner. He's going to be his John the Baptist. He's going to be the guy that basically helps the world believe that this guy is the man, that Antichrist is the Christ. And so false prophet will be part of that, that whole scenario. He'll be in charge of the religious aspects of Antichrist empire. And he's also the one who helps propagate and manage the economic affairs of Antichrist with the mark of the beast as well. He'll be the one that sets up the image of Antichrist in the Jewish temple. And so that for that reason alone, he's a very significant figure in the end times. So he's a part of that third part of the unholy Trinity. Now, here's a very interesting question that people ask about this. Jeff, do you think that when the mark of the beast takes place, because it says no person who takes the mark will be able to be saved afterwards, according to Revelation 14, do you think there will be anyone saved in the Gentile world during the second half of the tribulation? It's possible that there won't be. In fact, we don't read of any revivals taking place among Gentiles in the second half of the tribulation. We do read about a great revival taking place in the first half of the tribulation. We do know that Jews are saved at the end of the tribulation, but no Gentiles are mentioned. We have saved Gentiles that make it to the end of the tribulation in Matthew chapter 25, but we're not told of any Gentiles that are actually saved during this time. So it's possible that that midpoint of the tribulation is going to be what we call in the South the fish or the cut bait moment. In other words, you either fish or you cut bait, but you got to do something. You got to choose Antichrist or you got to choose Jesus. And I believe maybe that point is the point that delineates that line. As we said before, no believer will take the mark. So the question then becomes, as a Christian, do I have to fear the mark of the beast? I believe the answer is absolutely no, we don't. Why? Because in order to have the mark of the beast, you need to have a beast. And the Bible says the beast won't come until the rapture has already happened. So we'll be out of here. We'll be gone. I don't believe we're going to face Antichrist. In fact, there's not a single verse in the Bible that tells us to look for Antichrist or to prepare for him. But the verses we do have are the verses that say to look for the Christ and to prepare for his coming as well. So in the end, the real agenda of 666 is to get people to worship Christ, or worship the Antichrist, and to take the mark so they can participate in his digital economy. And so the only question left is, where's this Antichrist coming from? And could he be Jewish or maybe Muslim? You'll find out next time on The King is Coming.
What happens when a country glories in its immorality and turns their faith from God? How did America get here? Is America in Bible prophecy? Will Christians in America face widespread persecution? In Hope for America, our 8-part DVD series, Jeff Kinley will answer these questions and more as he powerfully challenges us as believers to understand how to put our faith in our only lasting hope, Jesus Christ. For any donation of $65 or more today to World Prophetic Ministry, receive your copy of this amazing 8-part DVD series, Hope for America. Go to thekingiscoming.com now or call the number on your screen. Thank you for your support. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized.